Hey, so thankful. I mean, what a team we got here. You know? You can't find a better group of people. If y'all considering coming to a church, this is the one to be at. We are having conversations all month long about relationships, conversations about relationships. And I've found that this is a topic that the world says that they need, but they seem to be moving further away from. So what we want to do all this month is to discuss how we can be in better relationship with each other. If you didn't see last week's sermon, I highly encourage you to go back and review it, either on our website or on our YouTube channel. Josh did a brilliant job last night in discussing with us what he called the relational theology. Relational theology. And in it, what Josh said was that the Godhead preexisted in relationship. If you know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there's not a word in the Bible that says Trinity, but what God does tell us is that he is three in one. And he set the example, the first example for relationship for us. And the Bible also tells us that we are created in the image of a relational God. So that is what brings us into the idea of being relational people. God actually took the initiative in relationship. He moved toward us, and he invited us into relationship with himself. I put Romans 5:8 up there, but I wanted to actually go in John and talk about this. Just to kind of refresh you and give you an idea. I don't take it for granted that everybody in here knows the Bible or understands what the deal is as far as the three in one of God, but let me break it down in here for you in John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see there the three. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in darkness. Remember that. That light shines in darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. I'm going to jump down to verse 10 where it says, he was in the world, and the world was created through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or the will of the man, but of God. So we see the relationship established there in John, where Jesus actually, God came down from heaven in the form of Jesus, took that initiative, moved toward us, dwelt among us, and invited into a relationship with himself. And because we're made in the image of a relational God, we are inherently relational. And it started out with relation in Genesis. It says, God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner. Genesis 2:18. Y'all saw a demonstration of that just a minute ago because, like, you know, days I got to preach, I'm really a mess. And if it wasn't for her, I would have a hard time. But it solidifies the fact that God does not want us to be alone. He wants us to be in a relationship. But we tend to resist relationships because the world is full of darkness. I talked about that darkness in John 1. And Jesus dispels that darkness. So if we look at the opening of relationships, there's a way that relations are always established, and it's established through invitations. So my specific topic as we drive toward understanding relationships is real invitations. Now, what do you mean real invitations? What's that got to do with relationships? the beginning of real relationships starts with real invitations. Now, invitations can go a lot of different ways and go both ways. You can give an invitation, or you can receive an invitation. And a lot of times, depending on the giving or receiving of that invitation, it determines the outcome of the relationship. I'll give you another example. Yesterday, again, I always bring my wife up into this. You know, I said, want to go downtown Brooksville? They got a great art exhibit. You know, we can go down there and walk around. Doesn't cost anything. We can kind of hang out and spend some time together. And is that okay, guys, to invite your wife out and something like that? It's good? Well, it's not good for a woman. Because as a woman would have it, as she would have it, she's saying, are you inviting me? Are you asking me out on a date? So, you know, I had to backpedal and say, yeah, of course, I'm asking you out on a date. And then, of course, she says, well, why do you want me to come with you? So I'm really getting, like, backed up here. So, you know, about 2 hours later, I had finally talked and explained and apologized myself out of why I wanted her to come so we could spend some time together. And we finally got a chance to get to go. But you see how complicated invitations can be. And it's important that we do the invitation correctly so that we set off the idea of what the relationship is. Now, I did an anatomy of invitations, and what I found is that they typically consist of these things: who, when, what, where, and why. Okay? Now, I really wanted to spend, you know, I hadn't been up here preaching for a while, and I had a whole lot of stuff to give you. I want to spend a lot of time breaking this down, but Joe told me I couldn't stay up here too long because there's some kind of game coming on tonight. So I'm going to try to get through this as much as I can. But what we have is an idea of Jesus inviting and how he invited his disciples. So we actually are going to take that scripture, John 1, 35 through 52, and we're going to talk about invitation to disciples. Now I'm going to read through this, and I am going to sort of give you the anatomy of Jesus's inviting to the disciples and how this kind of goes both ways as I read through this. I'm going to read the scripture to you here, ESV, if you want to follow along, John 1, 35 through 52. It says, the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples. Now, you have to understand how this is set up. This is John the Baptist. He's got two guys here, two disciples. And he points and he says, he looks at Jesus and says, behold, the Lamb of God. So you have the who going on there. And the two disciples heard this and they followed Jesus. So this is John the Baptist. He's pointing out the who, and they said, that's the Lamb of God. They were like, okay, let's go check this out. So they're going to try to find out what they can get out of this situation. And in an invitation, typically, when it's given, they're going to like, what can I get out of this? What's this going to do to them? So Jesus doubles back on him, turned and saw them follow him, and said to them, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? Now, Jesus knows everything, but Jesus, as he always does in his conversation, he sets him up. He said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? So there's the who, the what, and the where. And he says, come, and you will see. So there's the when. It's like now, all right? Ask no questions. Y'all chasing behind me. You know, where am I going? You want to know where I'm going? Come and see. Came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to them, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. So now Philip and Nathanael come into the picture. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. No questions asked, he found him. Follow me. There's the now. Philip comes to follow him. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found the woman whose Moses in the law of the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So Nathanael, being a smart guy, says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" You know, like when somebody tells you they're from Brooksville, and you're asking, "Can anything good come out of Brooksville?" Now Philip said to him, "Come and see." So they're all curious, and they're following Jesus around. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" They had never met before. Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Never met. Jesus wasn't looking at Nathanael under the fig tree. So now Nathanael gets the picture. He said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you now believe? You'll see greater things than these." So now we see the big incentive of what's going on here. The who, what, when, where, what, and why of Jesus interacting with the disciples. The main thing is there's something that they get out of it. They saw Jesus. They saw that he was the Son of God, because the interaction actually explained. Now, they had already heard some stuff about Jesus. That's what made them curious. But now they have the real deal. They have the situation going on, and they realize this really is who they talked about. This is the Son of God. So again, I said, real invitations, real relationships start with real invitations. Real relationships start with real invitations. You all saw these chairs up here last week when Josh was preaching, which is such a great job. And he actually invited David Hand up on stage and asked him some questions. So I'm like, I'm supposed to get somebody up here. We have any first-time visitors today? Nobody gonna say right. But yeah, and it's fine if you're first-time. I ain't gonna bother a first-time visitor. But what I was told to do, I was talking to my wife. I said, "You know, sometimes I'm really stupid." And she said, "Well, you're not stupid. You just do stupid things." So the stupid thing that I was told to do was to invite somebody up here on stage that I have not ever had a conversation with or that might be new. I've talked to Nathanael before, Lynn. You? Hey, you want? Come on. Let's give her a hand. I'm going to show y'all how to do real invitations and how to get to know somebody. I'm going to help you up because I'm a gentleman. Please have a seat. This is a dream experience for me, because I always wanted to be on a talk show and stuff, you know, and pretend like I was a TV. So I was like, I can be the Black Larry King today because I got my stuff on. You're sitting on your microphone. The male Oprah. Yeah, she's richer than Larry King, and he's dead anyway. So let's talk. You obviously are not a shy person.
I actually have always had pretty bad stage fright, so this is kind of, I'm doing a lot of
so things. It's a breakthrough for
this
you.
I'm breaking.
Got a lot to thank me for.
Exactly.
All right. So they're telling you to hold your mic up a little bit.
Okay.
All right, great. So what is your name?
Elena Mantis.
Elena.
Mantis.
Okay, Elena. Give her a hand. So, where did you grow up, Elena?
Well, I was born and raised till I was in fifth grade, mainly in New Jersey, and then...
Gosh, this is the second Jersey person. I had the first guy was...
Jersey, enough. And then moved to Florida when I was 11.
All right. So where do you live now?
I live in Tampa.
Can anything good come out of Tampa?
I love Tampa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where I live, it's paradise.
All right, great.
Heaven on earth.
So, Elena, family, married, kids, what?
I have a fiance. He's home in Tampa right now.
Couldn't bring him to church with you?
We're having some tree work done to keep the tree from falling.
That's a very poor excuse not to come in.
Well, it just got scheduled yesterday.
All right, I'll let you off. I'll let you off on that.
It was like a last minute, oh, we'll give you a really good price because we have the truck.
Gotcha. I always go for the best price.
My darling mother is Elsa Mantis.
Hey, I knew the name was familiar. All right.
Yes, so. She's all brought right. me here a couple times, but
all
it's
right.
different now.
Good. Great. Okay. Do you work now or you're retired?
I'm taking a bit of a leave of absence from work right now.
Okay.
Brainstorming, and I found a new idea for a wonderful new business. Y'all will hear about it when it's
ready. Well, if you end up making a whole lot of money, can you give
it's
me a call?
It's not about money. It's about serving people.
Oh, I don't want to deal with that. You're impressive already.
Thanks.
So I'm a,
I don't know what happened to me. I'm going through a metamorphosis.
All right. All right. Well, that's great. We're glad to have you. Go ask you a couple of simple psychological
good.
Questions.
That's better.
Yeah. All right. So it's kind of like what? It's kind of like what kind of person are you? Okay. So I'm gonna give you a couple of quick ones. You a cat or a dog?
Both.
Both. Okay.
All creatures.
All right.
All creatures.
Beer or wine?
Everything. Minus pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
Everything natural.
All right, the last guy, last season said he drank everything, but he said he quit. But she didn't say she quit, so that's
well,
all right.
I mean, I'm not drinking any alcohol right now.
I would hope not.
I mean, currently, like, in the recent
look,
days.
I don't want to get in your business. I know this is a church. You got to be religious
there's
and stuff
a lot
like
of
that.
Stuff, there's but, a lot of stuff going on in here right now.
Yeah.
And I have to
all right.
experience
well,
that.
Well, you're in the right place. Thank you so much. Winter, summer, spring, fall?
It depends. All of
it
them.
Depends on whether it's all winter, summer, spring, fall. She likes the whole year.
I like the in-between. Different. I like the in-between times when it's not too cold and not too hot.
Okay. Yeah, well, you don't need to be in Florida then, because it's either one of them.
But I love it here. It's
all
my
right.
home.
Okay. Rams or Bengals, or you don't care?
I think I'm rooting for the Bengals.
Yeah.
I
said this last service, none of y'all were Bengals fans until they made it to the Super Bowl.
Even
and now everybody likes wants to be a Tiger.
Even though I thought they were St. Louis, but oops.
All right. So, from Jersey, how long have you been here?
In Florida?
Yeah.
Since 1981.
Oh, well, gosh.
I spent 2 years back in New Jersey when I was in the Army.
All right. You're a Floridian. And my other question was, how did you hear about Wildwood? But obviously through your mom.
My mom.
Yeah, great.
My
Thank
mom
you.
Lives in Brooksville.
Thank you. And is there a particular reason you kind of led into this that you came today? I know you come every so often.
I'm staying with my mom for a couple of days just to decompress because I've been going through some things and I haven't been able to sleep at my house because I'm trying to put everything in order for some reason.
Okay. Well, all right.
And I can't stop when I'm there. So now I got some sleep last night.
Got to get away. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Elsa, for allowing her to stay.
I'm an oversharer, so, but I am usually not.
You got any money you want to, like?
I'm usually not comfortable. That, too. I do when I can.
All right.
But yeah, I'm usually not this open to being, like, in front of a group. I even enjoy singing in it, and I get... when I do karaoke, my knees shake. It took me many years to,
all right.
the guts
well,
to do that.
That's fine. But thank you. Thank you so much. We're done. And look.
That was it?
Yeah.
Those were simple questions.
Unless you want to finish preaching.
No, I'm not ready for that yet. Maybe right. one day I can aspire to.
All right. That. If God calls you, then you got to answer, girl.
You do. I'm answering him right now.
All right. Great. Hey, you get a lovely... parting gift for being a guest today.
This is the, can we go to the other side? This is the heart hug.
Oh, okay. She taught me something. She gave me a heart hug. All right. Watch yourself.
Thank you.
All right. Great. That went really well. So, you know, getting to know all about you, people, when you start getting into conversations with people and introductions and discussions like that, you know, In a lot of cases, there are obstacles. And, you know, you have boundaries that you get to. And people go, in some cases, in self-protection mode. So it's a little awkward from time to time when you get into a situation of introduction, of invitation, of getting to know somebody. And people go into self-protection mode because, as I talked about before, the world is full of darkness and it creates broken relationships. People have gotten hurt because of situations that they've gotten into after being invited into certain situations and checking out certain situations, and then it didn't turn out the way that they expected it to be. Broken relationships are very dangerous, and I think it's what has gotten us into the place that we've gotten into now as far as how the world is concerned. I started looking at this, and I brought up the scripture of James 4, and I took this out of the Message interpretation of the Bible. This is what it says. I want you to think about this, and then you'll see where I'm going. Where do you think all of these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it. Would you? I got Austin running back there today. I don't know. That's why I'm up here instead of back there. All right, let me start with the scripture over again because I want to make sure you get this. This is James 4, starting at verse 1. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have, and you're willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You're spoiled children. Now, understand, James is writing to the church here, okay? So if you think you don't, you know, your foot don't fit in the shoe, yeah, it does. Because he's talking to all of us, each wanting your own way. You're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and his way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that he's a fiercely jealous lover. And what he gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him make himself scarce. Say a quiet yes to God, and he'll be there in no time. It's a stark message that James gives the church as it relates to what our status is and why relationships are broken and how invitations end up going the wrong way from time to time. I asked the last group when I was preaching about inviting people to church. How many of you invite people to church? Most of you. How many people actually, well, I know Elsa has somebody coming to church. How many people have actually had people coming to church? Good job. Last time, there were a lot more hands that invite people to church than people that had people come to church. What happens when you invite people to church? What typically is the response you get? How do you invite them? What? You can yell out. They're busy. They're busy. What do they say? Don't have time. Want to sleep in. I do too. Want to sleep in on Sunday? Do you know what? Linwood, actually, I get that morning. They say the church will burn down if I walk in. You know, and we talk about this, but what I want to do is understand, when you look at the anatomy of an invitation, why somebody would not come or why they would say no. Because, again, there's some kind of game going on tonight, but and this happened to one of our members last year, won 2 free tickets to the Super Bowl, all expenses paid, got a chance to go. All of them people y'all asked if y'all come to church, if they got 2 free tickets, expense paid to the Super Bowl, they wouldn't say no. They would find a way to get there. Why is that? What's the difference if we have the light, if we have what is supposed to be the best thing for them? Why do they respond in the way that they do? Guilt, scared, living in the world. You know, all of those are good answers, but I want to talk about something that I was really, you know, in reading the Bible, introduced to over again. And I'll get to that verse, but I want to talk about love, because love is an invitation to relationship. If you all invite people to church, typically you are already in some type of relationship with them. But sometimes you're not. Sometimes it might be a worker, or it might be somebody at school or whatever. Say, hey, why don't you come to church with me? And their experience with church, I would dare say most people you invite to church have already been to church. They already are familiar with church. But what is the concept of church? Rules, regulation, religion. And not relationship. Hypocrites. Ask people asking for money, begging for money. And there's all types of bad image as it relates to church, and it's every image except for love. Every image except for love. I'm gonna go back to a slide I had earlier and talk about how this love thing is supposed to work as it relates to the church. When I talked about God taking the initiative to form a relationship with us, he did it because of love. And he had to take that initiative and move in our direction. So from initiative, it went to movement, because the initiative meant that he was in pursuit of something. He was in pursuit of us. He was in pursuit of a relationship with us. He moved toward us by sending his son to be here with us, left glory in heaven to come down here with all of us sinful, hellacious people to establish a relationship with us. The initiative, the movement, is what we need to make the mark toward the relationship. And I ask you, if you invite people to church, are you inviting them into a love relationship, or are you inviting them to a good place and a program that has good music, maybe good speakers, depending on who's up here, a place to keep your children, you know, while you're up and, you know, you check that box off? We have to be very careful of the image we set. But most importantly, this is the verse that I want to share with you, and I want you to really catch hold to if you don't do anything else. I was taken to Revelation 3:20, and this is a verse I learned as a kid, and, you know, in evangelism class, and we're talking to people, and we always are talking about introducing people to Jesus Christ. And this verse, many of you know it by heart, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. And lots of times, if we're witnessing to somebody and we're saying, hey, if the Holy Spirit is working in you, if you hear God talking to you, he's knocking at that door. He wants you to open that door so you can come in. But the literal interpretation of this verse found in Revelation was written to the church. It was written to the church in Laodicea. And you would scratch your head and say, wow, he's saying to the Christian church, I'm standing at the door and knocking, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'm going to come in. And what does that mean?
It means Jesus is on the outside of the church. A stark realization that Jesus can be on the outside of the church. So when the world is looking for something and they're in darkness, the world is always looking for light. And they can find light in the Super Bowl. They can find light by going to the beach. They can find light by going to the restaurant out and eating with each other. They can find light in anything. But when you tell them to look at the church, they don't see a light. That's what this verse is talking about. Those of us that work here in the church or a part of staff or a part of the music department or watch the kids, what is your intention when you come here to do what it is that you're doing? To serve? But your first intention should be, one, you're connecting with Jesus to make sure you're doing what he wants you to do, because it's easy to check a box off. It's easy to say, hey, I can work the cameras. I can work the sound system. I'll do that for the church. I can watch the kids. That's not too big of a deal. Even, unfortunately, some of us that preach can check that box off and say, I'm going to do this. And I'm doing my duty for the church. Or those of you that come here that aren't even involved in anything or with anybody, you're checking the church box off because you're saying, that's my religious duty, and I feel good about that. But there's no Jesus. And you've left him out. That's what this verse is saying. Now, I'm not condemning Wildwood. I love this church. God put me here, and I'll be here until he tells me to go. But I love this church because, number one, when I come here, I can connect with him. And number two, I can connect with all of you. Now, I told him this last Sunday, I'm naturally an introvert. I am not one that's going to really invite y'all to do anything with me. I would be more apt to avoid talking to you than to ask you in to get close to me. Some people are like that, and some people are extroverts. They just invite everybody. I'm telling you, you need to be somewhere in the middle. You need to be somewhere in the middle. But most important, you need to connect with God and ask him where he wants you to be and where he wants to put you. I don't want you to feel bad because you might invite people to church. The world don't understand what church is about, but they can understand what you are about. And if you understand your relationship with God and you listen to what he has you doing, then they are going to be attracted to him. And some of us get the big head, oh, people love me, you know, this, that, and other thing. First thing they do is they see Jesus in you because there's something different in you. And all Jesus is saying is that don't get caught up in the program and promotion and everything like this, thinking that you're representing me. You're representing religion. You're not necessarily representing me. We don't need all of this stuff to help God. We don't need these microphones and cameras and the good singing and music and stuff like that. If God is here, he can be here in the midst of just me and you sitting out there on the ground under a tree and impact the world just like he did with those 12 disciples, better than if we had all of this stuff around. And we've gone into a situation the last couple of years where church, especially the pandemic, has put a big hole in the church. And it's gotten to the point where the farther we get away from Genesis, the farther we get away from relationships, because what people have said was, especially when church is shut down, I ain't got to go to church no more. I can watch it online. You know? And they're just clicking and watching the sermon. And, oh, this is pretty good. I don't have to get up on Sunday morning. I don't have to go anywhere. And, you know, those of us that still. And then what we found statistically is even people that were watching online when all of this happened, they never came back to the church. And now they have slowed down or stopped watching online. Relationships have diminished. And what we need to understand is that for every earthly physical manifestation that happens, there's a spiritual manifestation. Satan does not want relationships. He wants to separate us. And when I read that verse in James about us wanting our own ways, we're no different. Because we as a church, we as Christians, what we represent in a lot of cases is arguments and divisions among ourselves. We invite somebody to come to church, then they're going to go through that who, what, where, when, and why. Okay, Chris invited me to church. Okay, where is it? It's up 19, a little bit north of 50. Oh, that's not too far away. I could probably do that. When is it? Well, if you don't like to get up early, you can come to 9 o'clock service or you can come to 11 o'clock service. Oh, that's convenient, you know. We got great music. We got child care. We got a good kitchen. We got biscuits that they serve. We got all of this stuff. And we fail to mention we got Jesus. We got the true bread and the light. We got what you need. They ask about denomination, and we say we non-denominational, and they really scratch their head. You know, if we say we're Catholic, they know that we fit in that box. Or we're Baptist, we fit in that box. We're Methodist, we fit in that box, you know. And they can kind of get with that, and we say we're non-denominational. You don't know what you're getting. And they really back up then. Oh, my God. They're either a bunch of holy rollers or they're a bunch of boring people that, you know, that don't, you know, they don't put, you know. And there could be 10 non-denominational churches up and down 19, and you're going to get 10 different things. So people are confused about church. But what they're not confused about is the light and the love that they will see in you through how Jesus impacts your life. Because they should look at you as a Christian and be able to see something different. And if they don't see anything different, you coming here and doing all of this stuff and whatever you're doing ain't going to make a difference in hill of beans. The world is in darkness. We need to desperately and quickly impact the community by doing something, by letting him back in. Permission. Permission is sacred. Where there's no permission, there's no love. What do you mean by that? He's saying, I'm knocking. Let me in. And in a lot of cases, we don't give him permission to come in. Why? Because we're covering up something. We're not ready to change. We're not ready to put our selfish desires apart or the way that we are and do something. Because when he comes in, it changes everything. Or it should change everything. Just because you've been coming here to Wildwood and all this stuff, you should be somewhere different now than you were 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Things should be changing. They should be progressing. Sometimes God can make an immediate change. Sometimes it takes progress. But he tells us we've got to work out our salvation. That means we need to be making continual improvement. And we can only do that by the amount that we allow him to work in our lives. That thing about Lynn Woods, you know, if I come to church, the church will burn down. You know, permission to come in is very difficult. When you know somebody's coming over your house, you got guests coming, and you prepare for them. You try to clean up, you know, and do this and that, make sure the yard looks good and everything like that, and get it ready for your guests to come in. And lots of times as Christians, we feel that we have to do the same thing to let Jesus come in. He's knocking at the door. He's asking. And then, you know, especially for people that don't know Jesus Christ. Oh, you know, I can't do that Christian thing. I'm so far away. I got so much stuff to clean up. I got to straighten up. I got to stop doing this. I got to start doing that. You know, maybe when I get myself together, I can come to church and I can be a better person. No. Jesus does the cleaning up. If we could clean ourselves up, we would have fixed this a long time ago. We wouldn't be in a predicament that we're in. He says, let me do the job. Let me take the weight off of your shoulders. Let me bear the burden because I'm the one that cleans it up. And when the world can figure that out, we can start turning some stuff around. I said invitations go both ways. This is our invitation to extend. The buck stops here. We have to open up. We have to let Jesus come, and we have to allow him to do that work that is within us. He's standing at the door, and he's knocking. So my question to you is, how long has he been knocking? What are you covering up? When are you going to open that door and allow him to come start making some changes? Or are you set? Is it working out okay for you to stay in the same place you've been all of this time? Or are you tired of being tired? In Jesus, and only in Jesus, we find real relationship. Inviting him in, it changes everything. So I'm going to ask you, will you let him in? I've got three invitations to give to you before we finish today. One is, you might not know Jesus as your Savior. You might be here trying to understand this Christian thing, and you might not have had a relationship with him. There's opportunity for you to have a relationship with him, for him to show you that love. And you won't be going it alone, because that's what all of us are for. You all don't understand how important it is for you all to send me the text or the telephone calls or the emails or the cards that you all send me, because you all encourage me. I don't reach out to a whole lot of people, but when you reach out to me, it gives me strength, and I know I have a family that's with me on my side and praying for me. But the second invitation is for those of you that might be watching that are in here, but you're broken. All of us got something broken about us that we need to get fixed. And I think we forget that we come here for a refilling, for a refreshing, not to listen to the music or to hear people talk, but we come to get renewed through Jesus Christ. I talked last sermon and I said I was a little bit upset about something. We got a little prayer sign over here on the side, and we've whittled down to the point that we just got one little person standing over on the prayer sign, and we say, if you want prayer, come up at the end of service. We'll listen to the music. Y'all have a good day. Forget about that. We need to come to the altar. We need to break ourselves back down and open that door for Jesus Christ. If there are other members of the prayer team that can come up here and support people that might need prayer, I want you to come up here and stand and not just hide over in the corner. People are here for the bread, for the water that Jesus asked. They don't come here just to listen to another sermon or to hear some good music. They come here to get fixed, because the world is dark and they need light. Let's introduce them to Jesus Christ. If they come here, they don't need to leave without seeing some Jesus, without seeing some love and experiencing that. I'm not asking you to join Wildwood, but if you want a family, it's a good family to be a part of. We'll help you, but you can't do it alone. You're not going to do it alone. I want the prayer team to come up here and stand and welcome anybody that might need prayer. We had several people come up last service. Most importantly, if you want to make that move and give your life to Jesus Christ, our water is always ready, willing, and available. Done it plenty of times. Right after preaching, get over there and jump in the water with somebody or Joe or any of us. We're glad to talk to you if you need somebody to share with. Talk. You don't have to expose all of your sins or dirty stuff to us. We all got it. But we're here to help you bear that load. The togetherness that we need is what God wants. Joe's going to talk about that togetherness, real life together, next week. So I want you to come back and see the continuation of how this relationship thing goes. But my challenge for you, just like we did today, I think that there was a move of God for this lady to come up on the stage today and talk to us, and I'm thankful that she came. But I want you to meet and greet one person that you don't know. Just connect with them and say, hey, you don't have to invite them over to your house tonight or go out to have coffee, but just start to bridge that gap. Make that connection with somebody you don't know. Next Sunday, we've got our family meeting. And you know what? Like the song says, we are family. We forget that we're one in the body of Christ because of the separatism, because it's easy to run out of here without talking to anybody. Come back next week and let's meet and greet our own family. And even after the meeting, there's time to share some dessert and some conversation with each other and get to know each other better. But most importantly, when you leave here, do what you're supposed to do. Be a disciple. Make a disciple. Show somebody Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.